You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. Hey everyone, before we get started today, I'd like to ask a favor of you. Please go to our website at twooldolphins.com and sign up for email notifications. The only time we typically send anything out is when we publish a podcast, and you will receive that email immediately upon us publishing it, which guarantees that you will hear the podcast probably a day before anyone else, as it's taking very long to populate the various platforms, you know, iTunes and Google Play and Spotify these days, so do that. We'd also like to grow the podcast, so if you could follow us on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, that would be great. Tell your friends about us. That would be even better. Thanks. Hello, and welcome back to Two Old Dolphins Podcast. It's been a long time since our previous episode. I know that, Alex, you and I have been discussing for, I don't know, 6 weeks, we should do a podcast. And it just hasn't worked out. So welcome. Welcome back. How you
great
doing
today?
Great
to be back, man. Just great to be back.
Cool. Finally doing it. I'm actually kind of excited.
Well, football's officially here, right? I mean, now we got preseason. We got injuries. We got guys playing well. We got all the stuff that makes football, you know, sometimes heartbreaking and sometimes a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have to admit, the older I get, the less connected, I'd say, or excited I get by preseason things. We've just been through this loop so many times in our life where, like, every preseason, everyone gets all excited, all pumped up, which is not a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
Right?
It's a good thing.
But when your hopes get up and your expectations get up and then they get dashed for one reason or another, sometimes pretty quickly and sometimes not. It's like I take all of this period of time with a grain of salt.
I see these preseason games as the first one told me a lot, you know, something about the team. The next game will tell us a lot more about the team.
Yeah, well, when we see the starters out there,
that's going to be the next game.
I'm hoping Texas Tua, on Saturday.
Yes, so, and I'm hoping Tua will play at least a quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yep.
Maybe a half.
Need some game time experience out there, but I'm also worried about his protection, which is a topic we'll talk about during this podcast.
For sure.
So first I wanted to ask you a question. This has to do, I wouldn't say politics, because it's definitely a sports story, but it's one of my great concerns for the era that we're living in now. I know some of the stuff we've talked about offline and you share it. Did you hear about Kevin Brown, the popular Orioles broadcaster?
No, I missed it.
So he was suspended from his job.
Okay.
And it's not a social warrior thing. It was, he made a comment about the own team that he was covering.
The Orioles.
To the effect of, you know, that they've won more games at the Trop than they have in the two previous years combined or something.
So far, I don't see a problem.
Yeah, me either. But that was the comment.
Well, stop it.
And he was suspended from his job for that.
There has to be more than that.
Okay. The reason I'm bringing it up.
There has to be more.
It's not.
It can't be. They suspended him.
People have dug deep into it. And it's all.
He was wrong?
No.
Okay.
No. It was perceived as negative commentary on his own team that he was covering.
Well, it's not negative. It's actually positive. half full in my eyes. Yeah. It's positive because the guy's saying, hey, we've done better this year than we have in the last 2 years. It's phenomenal already, and the season's not even over. That's what I see.
It was perceived as negative commentary on the team that he covers, and therefore that's why he was suspended.
Well, I believe in negative reinforcement sometimes is good.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I'm bringing mm-hmm. up this point is if you've ever listened to us before, mm-hmm. it's always been sort of our center line, our baseline, our motto that we're going to talk about it as we see it. Right.
Yeah,
and if that means we have criticism of players or coaches
or GM
or whatever it is, it's not out of hate. We love the Dolphins. We love our team and we're not haters. It's mm-hmm. about we've got 10 tons of experience in, well, I can't say playing because it's been a super long time since either of us played the sport, but
definitely
certainly
watching,
observing, caring, studying, researching, digging into issues, knowing what we're seeing on the field sometimes and things like that. So the last part of the commentary on this I wanted to, you know, directly quote from this article that I read was this: as broadcasters, we owe the audience the truth as we see it, right? So we're not professional broadcasters. This is a hobby, but I never want to deviate to be that podcast that's all smiles all the time. And I hear a bit of that from some other podcasts that I listen to. It's like,
yeah, like everything is positive all the time.
100%. Yeah, it's, no. You know, I used this metaphor before. Have you ever had a discussion with a serious gambler?
Yes.
Or somebody with a gambling yeah. problem yeah, even? What do they tell you about?
They always win.
That's right. Yeah. All you ever hear about is the wins, right?
Yep, that's right.
That is not what you're going to get from the Two Old Dolphins no. podcast. You're going to get the positives. We mm-hmm. get really excited over stuff. You're going to get some just straight line observations, and you're going to get some negative stuff too when it's as we see it. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
That's the bottom line.
And people are going to love, I think, I believe that we're also,
it's not like we're a new podcast. This is season six.
Yeah. It's not like we sit here and just criticize the team. We want to see the team succeed. And I think both of us share the fact that this is the best team we've fielded in a long time.
It is. But I have some crucial concerns about some central items that need to be alleviated before I can personally get excited, which is what this whole intro is about. Mm-hmm. I want to be excited. I want to feel like that we have the potential to go to and win a championship game. And I'm not even close to ready to being able to say that right now.
Well, in today's NFL, you gotta have certain things work your way to be successful. You have to, you know, draft well, you have to sign the right free agents, and you have to have lady luck on your side and not get injuries.
Yes.
And so far, I can't say we've done very well in any of those. That's a fact.
Yeah.
So, you know, we drafted okay. We have definitely signed okay on free agents, not great. We've done great trades. That's the interesting part. If you say one thing,
yes,
that Greer crushes it is in trades.
Yep.
And in that note, remember Ramsey was one of those trades that I thought was brilliant.
Yes.
And that was
one
of those guys.
And he's one of the few people, and we joke about this a lot, mm-hmm. that didn't have an injury history. Our joke with Greer is, if you have an injury history,
yes,
signing you up.
Sign you up. And
draft you. Whatever.
You know, if you look at this year, you know, Ramsey, Waddle had his injuries when he got him.
Mm-hmm.
But Cam Smith, who didn't, and Armstead, who does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those
four guys.
Every year, Armstead is out.
Yeah, those are four.
For a
long
time.
Would you say those are four, you know, well, at least two definite cornerstones?
Yeah.
And two other players.
Armstead is by far our best offensive line.
So you have a cornerstone, and you have a corner that should be the cornerstone.
Yes, Ramsey.
And then you have Waddle, who,
not to denigrate X, but you know, his play has been
a little off.
Yeah.
And then you have Waddle, who should be a starter in most teams, or a lot of teams.
He's at least a number two on most teams in the NFL.
At least a number two, and definitely a number one in some.
Teams without good wide receiver core, yeah.
And Cam Smith, who is a very promising rookie that we were watching out there.
Yes, so you and I were both pretty pissed off during the draft. We had done our research. We'd done our homework, at least for the early rounds. We knew what the greatest needs of the team were, and we utterly ignored them.
No, we did not touch the offensive line.
In hindsight, I have less and less of a problem with the first pick, Cam Smith.
Because he's looking like the real thing.
He's looking like the real thing, and clearly we have a need for that kind of depth based on our current and recent injury history at the position.
Yeah, he's looking like the real thing, and I think his injury is not. I believe the Dolphins' attitude with these guys, and it's kind of weird because during the game, we've seen the Dolphins twice leave players in after they get hurt, and then the players get really hurt, you know. And this has happened in the preseason twice. With Cam, you saw he was laboring. But, as a football player, as an athlete, you don't want to be taken out. You don't want to be perceived as soft. So it's a tough call to take those guys out because you see them a little dinged up. It's a tough call. I can't blame the Dolphins for that, but it has happened a couple of times.
Well,
it
happened with more Cam. So in preseason than
in preseason is where I noticed it, and there was a lot of criticism of that Cam looked bad, and then he went out with that shoulder. But those injuries are injuries that I'm glad they happened now if they were going to happen, and have those guys come back healthy for the regular season, hopefully. How do you feel about playing Tua, like we said earlier, playing him for the whole first half?
Well, I liked it.
Me too.
Okay, because I think as a rookie.
It hasn't been announced yet, but I hope he does, yes.
As a rookie, you need that kind of game experience in the NFL environment. Even though you're not going against other starters, it's still, I mean, everyone on an NFL roster is Excelsior at the college level, right? So, you know, you're getting really valuable game time experience, and I'm all for playing rookies as much as you can.
No, I'm saying Tua, playing Tua for the
first time. Oh, yeah. Duh.
Yeah.
All right. He needs to get for experienced person like Tua, I have a dual concern, right? I'm kind of walking the line on this one.
I know, because we talked a little bit about it. I know one of your concerns.
Yeah, so, primarily I want him to get the timing experience of how fast the game goes, because it's not the same as it is in practice. It's just not.
Even against our elite defense?
Yeah.
Hey, this elite defense, I really believe that.
I think it's headed that way too.
Coaching makes all the difference in the world.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It can.
Well, I mean, I saw our scrubs.
It can one way or the other way. Yes. So, yes.
It does. It makes all the difference. But Tua needs it, and I think our whole offense needs to be clicking. What did you think of the last preseason game? What was your takes from it? I know you watched it finally.
I did. It took me a few days to get to it.
Okay.
So I had a couple takeaways, right? Because digging too deeply into game one of preseason is not very valuable, right?
Especially when both teams sat. Ridiculous amount of people.
Right. Ones and twos. We were into the threes and fours before you could blink an eye. So so my concerns about Mike White are he seems to be decent at moving the ball, right? But as soon as the defense scrunches up, it's like his mentality doesn't accelerate or doesn't read to the situation. And so every time we got into the red zone, obviously we failed to score. But the reasons we failed to score were primarily Mike White reasons.
He was throwing behind,
throwing into coverage, throwing inaccurately.
That's timing.
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't have it with his players. Yeah, that was apparent.
So maybe that will get better with repetition. Okay. And remind me, repetition is one of the things I want to talk about in terms of coaching later.
For sure.
Skyler looked plain old sloppy.
Yeah, he looked like he cannot be a pocket passer. So weird.
Yeah, what happened there?
Just looks like he is not.
I was actually expecting him to look better than Mike White.
He knew the offense better.
Right, because he has experience starting for the team.
Correct.
You know? And so I expected advancement. So again, I'm not going to write everything off based on one half of the first preseason game of the year, but I have concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, I feel like White and Skylar are going to see playing time this year, unfortunately. So again,
I hope not.
I'm leading into, I certainly hope not too. I hope not. So leading into
maybe
that
cleanup
topic.
Duties. I like to see them come in, you know, Dolphins winning
then
by
there's
40.
Just a few other things. You know, the running game appeared to be productive, even with my questions about the offensive line. So way too many times the offensive line was giving penetration into the backfield, both on passing plays and running plays. So I was very concerned about that. But everyone's been talking about A-Chain recently. And
Gaskin.
Now we got to see him. Gaskin seemed to like be trying to earn his job, like running really hard.
Yeah,
even the kid, Chris Brooks, looked like a powerhouse.
I like that kid.
He looked like he was going to bust somebody's chops. Like it's you guy, or me.
That guy's tough.
Especially with a defensive back.
Let me touch on quickly on Gaskin. I like Gaskin. I you know, it's a seventh round pick. He's been, you know,
he's hung in there.
Yeah, but look, he was playing against whatever second, third stringers, and I mean, 36 players were sat by Atlanta. Last time I checked, you only start 22.
Yeah.
Okay. They sat 36. How is that even possible? But anyway, they did. They'd be like, you're looking at a guy that's going against second stringers, third stringers, and he was running hard. But I've seen this before from Gaskin. He's not a guy that's going to be an answer for us. If anything, I do believe the Dolphins were showcasing him for a trade. For a possible trade. What are they going to get? A seventh round, sixth round? But there was nothing serious with him. Shane showed me a lot more. He was going up against...
If there was some creative way we could bundle up people and picks for Jonathan Taylor, I'd go through the roof.
Gaskin and number one pick, or number two pick, maybe.
It'd be worth it.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah.
But when you look at Shane, he looked like the real thing out there. He looked quick. He looked like running between the tackles. He was getting blocking from third, fourth stringers.
And so if this was a preseason game, I would be going off on the play calling. Because the last thing I want to see is the smallest guy. Mm-hmm. Did I say preseason? You knew what I meant, but the people listening didn't know. If this was a regular season game, the last thing I want to see for the most part is A-Chain running between the tackles.
You know, I heard that, I've said that I have a client that really loves A-Chain, or he's a Texas Tech guy.
Yeah.
And he was saying this kid
off tackle, fine.
I should say. He's an amazing
and certainly outside.
He loves him. He said the guy was very tough between the tackles, that he could really be that kind of a runner.
This is the NFL, and
He looked tough.
But can he take those hits from the big NFL size?
I'll tell you, I would love to see him touch the ball
linemen and
14
linebackers.
To 16 times a game. 10 runs and catch the ball six times. Boy, I'll be in heaven.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I certainly want to see him in running back options, sweeps, pitch outs, off tackles. Because you want a guy like him in space, right? Feed him the ball in space.
Feed him the ball. And talk about feeding the ball. And Sukama looked incredible on those sweeps. I mean, he was running again, running in second string.
I'm starting to wonder why they didn't try to convert him to tight end.
That guy keeps impressing me every single year. He just has that it factor.
Might he be like the future Jim Jensen or something?
No, but I would think that you could use him a little bit like Debo. You know,
Certainly run him McDaniel once in a while. Knows that situation and has been looking maybe for a guy to at least touch on that role a little bit.
I mean, he looked great.
I know you loved Dezakama in the draft last year.
I was really
Welker,
happy.
You know, singled him out to be drafted. We loved him in preseason last year.
I think that, you know, he was shortchanged last year by our coaching staff by changing his position and all that. We've talked about that. I think that now he's had a whole year under his belt. He's learned it better. And his skills are there. And he's probably our best blocking wide receiver.
How does he get reps in regular season if we don't suffer injuries?
I think you got to find a way to get him in there. I mean, you got to get him in there.
Think about all the receivers we have right now.
I mean,
in our
we have
room.
Chosen is starting to show up again, and that's really good because early on he did and then disappeared for a while. Yeah, the team is stacked at wide receivers. We're stacked at we thought we were stacked at corners.
Yeah, we thought.
You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. But the other people I saw that jump, the other guys have been performing great. Has been, of course, Jalen has been out of control. Jalen Phillips. Mm-hmm. They say he's would have had multiple sacks again, the same as he did against Houston. Is the same as he did against the same way Jalen turned it on against Atlanta. He turned it on against Houston. He's had multiple sacks in the last 2 days. He's looked great. He looks like this is really going to be his coming out year.
I read an article today, I want to say, mm-hmm. from a national writer, right? Not a Dolphins beat writer, who was just gushing over him. Said, he can play standing up outside linebacker. He can play fingers in the dirt defensive end. He can cover because of his speed. The guy is like, hell, I put him at safety in some situations and he'd mm-hmm. be successful there. He just, you know, I was surprised from a national writer who's not from Florida
to talk this well about this kid.
I mean, I got excited by that.
He's got all pro.
Because it's a neutral person. Yeah. There's no stake in the game.
Scott, I think he's got all pro written all over him. But, you know, the biggest problem that I'm having with the team again, and it's our offensive line and what's happening in that left
guard.
It's
time to get to that subject, I guess.
We should jump into it because the left guard position, now I'm hearing that Cotton is leading with him and Jones and Wynn, and they don't know who because Eichenberg.
Why did Eichenberg start if he's not leading?
It's basically over for Eichenberg, in my opinion. He got killed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like he's.
I have eyes.
It's over. So it's now.
Well, Cotton, I saw right tackle whiffing a bunch and getting, you know, swarmed and penetrated and everything.
Yeah, but when Jackson was in there, Jackson started, right?
Yes, he did. And he played quite a while.
He looked okay.
It was his replacement that was getting manhandled.
Got killed, yeah. Jackson looked okay, and I think he's going to be our starting right tackle.
We're both not excited by Jackson because we've had years and years of him underperforming and always being hurt.
Yes, always being hurt. And that's been really what Jackson has shown us, you know, not staying on the field and also being mediocre at best. But he's probably is our best right tackle. Armstead today, we talked about a bit. We escaped a big scare with him being carted off the field.
Yes.
Or was he walked off
and then
got on the cart, right?
Right.
Jeez.
Carted to the locker room.
And then showed a film of him walking around saying, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super scary, you know, with his because we know he's the most valuable player on the line. I would say because he's a blindside protector, but not for Tua.
Yeah, I mean, our offensive line, we needed to. I mean, one of the things that that Hondo was talking about, Hondo's my son and also a participant in this podcast quite often. And he's really good.
Yeah, even when you don't hear his voice, we have pre-conversations with him.
He's very...
He's our positive side.
Which is so funny.
The two of us get a negative spin sometimes, and he tries to pull us out.
Yeah, so. which is really funny because I've always prided myself on being positive. Stay positive. But with the Dolphins, it's sometimes hard, and he's got that... Even though he's never experienced success like we have with the Dolphins.
Right.
Which is really weird.
That he's more positive than we are.
That he's more positive than we are. He should be like, damn, here we go again. But no, he isn't. But he brought up the point that's just true. This is the deepest offensive line room that we've ever had.
I don't.
We got more players. I mean,
I am not convinced. I know Andy thinks the same way.
But look at the left guard, okay? Jones, Cotton, Wynn, Eichenberg.
None of those people stand out to me.
But Wynn was a hell of a player. I mean, he had all the talent. Number one draft choice.
Okay.
Cotton was undrafted. He's supposed to be the best one right now. But at least, I mean, there's bodies that look capable. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you could say that any preseason.
Not really. I mean, who did you ever think in the last years was even capable? Nobody was. It was terrible.
We had hope. We had hope for Eichenberg. We had hope for...
Oh, yeah, well...
I mean, there's a laundry list of names. I'd have to write them down to remember them all, but...
Eichenberg was never high on my Christmas list.
Well, yeah.
I hated the trade. I hated the whole
thing.
Yeah,
we spent an awful lot of capital to move up to get him.
A third round pick.
When we were slamming the table for Humphrey, who is clearly the best, probably the best center in the league now.
Yeah,
so we were right. The Dolphins front office was wrong, and it's frustrating.
It's frustrating, but I don't think they've rectified this offensive line. That's going to be an issue. But what jumped out at me is
our offensive line was 28th in the league last year.
But okay?
It was worse the year before. And so, honestly, I know Andy would say yes, and I think Alejandro say yes. Do you feel like we're improved this year? That we did enough in the offseason because we didn't really – I guess we drafted one guy in the seventh round.
No, it's
but
nothing.
Did we really do enough to address the problem to protect Tua, who is absolutely clear if he goes down, we're out?
Yeah, we're dead. I'll take that back. I think depending what happens with Tua, I think Mike White could carry us with our defense clicking, and I think we could win games with him.
He hasn't showed me he can score.
But again, he was playing with a bunch of scrubs beyond scrubs.
All right, it's too early to say.
Yeah, it's too early. Yeah. And he moved the ball well. He threw a couple of passes that
were gutsy
as hell.
Yeah.
That he stood in there and he's an hombre, man. He took the hits and he threw that ball.
Well, he's a Dolphins fan too.
He's a tough cookie, man.
Right. He loves the Dolphins.
Loves the Dolphins. I think he could win those games for us. But look, when I looked at the game, another thing that jumped out at me was special teams.
Yes, disappointment again.
You know,
it was horrific last year in the big picture. And we don't have much of a glimpse, but so far, so bad.
But on the Hundo take, now we have Berrios, and he looks much better than anything we've had back there for a long time.
So return game
could be
better.
It looked like our return game leaning a little bit better. Our cover game, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Obviously, we gave up a punt return for a touchdown.
A punt return for a touchdown. But our defense looked extremely well coached. One bonehead play here or there. I mean, that's that coach will get to it.
Yeah.
But beyond that, that team looked disciplined, enthusiastic. They looked that defense looked good for guys that were a bunch of scrubs mostly. They really looked well. I mean, our defense is going to be top 10. I would bet. Now, last year I told you no. This year I'll tell you yes.
I was excited last year and over positive about the defense and what a letdown that was.
Even with Ramsey out, I still think this defense is going to be hell. Because when you're smart and you're well, you play well and intelligent, just like Bill Armsparger used to make us play.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Armsparger used to take a bunch of no names.
Yes.
And this team doesn't have a bunch of no names.
And put him in the position to succeed.
And these
guys, time in and time out.
I think Phillips is going to be a household name after this year. I really believe this defense. Howard's going to have his best year in a long time. Wilkins is going to blow up. He's going to get his contract here, hopefully within the next few days, get that thing behind us. On a sad note, it looks like Connor Williams is not going to get re-signed. We're going to lose him. Looks like it's starting to look that way.
Yeah, it was somebody that we had moments with preseason last year where we thought he could be the future at tight end because
Connor Tanner.
Tanner.
He's going to be gone. I was talking about our center. Yeah, because our tight end. I like that guy, and I'm sorry. Look, he's going to make the team. His injuries. He's been just injured too much. But Connor Williams
missed the whole season.
Connor Williams. I'm a little concerned that we're going to lose him, and not have him next year. We'll get some kind of compensatory, whatever, third round pick, whatever. Fourth round pick? I don't know.
Because we won't be able to afford him with all the other restructures
we're
doing.
We're not signing him.
Yeah.
Our focus, and rightfully so, has to be on Wilkins.
Yes.
But then our line's going to take another
but
shot.
Right. I mean, another hit to the line? Are we going to go back to 32?
I don't envy Greer on right? this one, buddy.
How do you protect Tua, who is our offensive side of the franchise?
You put him in shotgun and throw the ball within a second. No, it's tough. It's tough. It's really if you look at how hard a job is to be a GM now, I'm sure Greer wants to sign both of these guys, but he has to put his efforts and his concentration on Wilkins, who's right now starting to put a full court press on us. I'm not going to practice in those drills and stuff like that. And
right,
you know,
I don't want to get hurt without the contract.
I can't blame him.
Yeah,
I mean the guy it has The guy is the leader on our defense. Hey, I would say he's probably our most valuable player.
How many times
right?
last year did we say how much we love Wilkins?
Yeah, wouldn't you say he's the most valuable player right now? And it could change for Phillips at the end of this year.
He's funny. He's a leader. But most of all,
it's a hustler,
he's one
man.
Of those guys that has a motor that doesn't stop.
That's addictive.
It's 10. It's 10 all the time. And if he's out there, it's on 10.
Well, I want to have Phillips and Wilkins on that line forever. For as long as possible, I want those two guys just motoring left and right. And I mean, when I see Phillips chasing a guy halfway across the field the way he does, and and Wilkins just piling them, it's just the energy's phenomenal. These two guys are just addictive. Like we were talking about, that's an addictive thing that you see that you don't want to be left not hustling. And I think that's exciting. I think we're going to do that, and we may, the casualty might be Connor Williams, our center. And that means that we have to put a concentrated effort next year on rebuilding this line again.
Again.
Yep.
Every year.
Because also Armstead, I think, maybe one more year.
Yeah, but that's like a quarterback position. You have to try and line a replacement up ahead of time, unless there's a gas mask involved.
Matter of fact, we'll be playing against that.
I know, and I saw a video of him eating Chubb alive.
Really?
Tunsil, just owning Chubb. Yeah. From practice.
I still think he's probably one number two in the NFL still today. He's phenomenal.
He is.
He's a great, great athlete.
You know who was interesting to see out there who I admit I kind of forgot about? Putting pressure on quarterbacks. Almost every play he was in there. Okay. Agba.
Yeah, Agba's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love him.
He started.
Good citizen, a great football player. I think another guy that's
kind of written him off, but he was in the backfield consistently while he was out there.
He missed most of the year last year.
Mm-hmm.
But like we said, look, our team is stacked.
Talk about defensive line depth.
No, we're stacked.
If he's not starting and he's playing that way.
Maybe defensive tackle is the only place we're a little thin. I mean, our backup is Davis, Regron, and he's been, to
underachiever.
Underachiever. But when you look at Wilkins and Phillips, like we said, and Ramsey coming back, Hondo brought up this point, which is really, I had to think about it a little bit, but if Ramsey comes back when they say he will, we're going to have him for the run. And we just have to be in that hunt. And next thing you know,
yes, if we're in the hunt and he comes back, he will be a difference maker.
Now we bring a prime corner back and in a perfect situation for Miami. So listen, I'm excited about the season. I am a little bit concerned about our offensive line. That's not going to change, but I'm hoping that we get some continuity on that line with our coach hopefully coming back next year. And this year,
I don't know the odds of our coach coming, offensive line coach.
Yeah, odds are pretty good
that
he won't be the coach next year. but keeping this line and having a couple of guys. If we get a little break and one of these guys, Cotton, Jones, Wynn, really steps up, this line could be very, very solid. And Armstead staying injury free, or at least missing only three or four games. I say only, but that's.
Yeah,
that's what we're looking at. We're and we have a good swing tackle in Feeney. He's been looking strong on that, and I think we've.
If Armstead's not out there, do we automatically start White? Sense of humor, people.
Yeah, White. We're gonna start you. We'll bring Tua in after you die out there. Yeah.
Tua, you're not being benched. You're being protected.
Yeah. We're going to bring you in, hopefully, when the defense is too tired of running around killing people. I really think our offensive line, the depth, and that somebody stepping up, there's a high probability, really high probability.
I like your outlook.
It's what I see. It's really what I see. I really think that is a strong possibility. Miami could get that in. We'll see a lot. We should do our next podcast, talk about the next game. I think the next game is going to be shows a lot of where Tua is right now. Which we want to see, and we want to see this defense dominate.
Is it determined that we're going to see him for a quarter at least?
Mike seems to think this is a top secret thing. McDaniel just
it won't. I know they ask him questions, and he does.
He's like, yeah. I don't know. It all depends on my mood, and you know, it's like.
Let's talk about Mike because uh-huh. I have some concerns. I know a lot of people love him, mm-hmm. And that this might even piss people off to some extent that I don't love him.
Yes, you do. You love
well,
him.
There's aspect. I love his press conferences and his sense of humor, and I've seen people criticize that, and I'm like, yeah, you're stupid. Yeah, because, and I saw people write, you know, he's the, and I can't disagree, he's the modern player's coach. He's the mm-hmm. new style of coach communicating with these young players who are from a different era, from different culture practically, right? So,
yeah.
So, okay.
From the Twitter,
but there's some
culture,
basic yeah. football stuff mm-hmm. that is in high question with me right now that he has to prove that he can take the next step this year, right? Mm-hmm. One is, of course, pre-snap penalties, especially on offense, which is his.
We talked a lot about that. They did 111 last year
yeah.
of penalties.
Insane.
A lot of them. Yeah,
insane.
A lot of
I
them.
Mean, if you took a percentage of those away, our win percentage would go up. Some aggregation of that, I'm sure, cost us games.
Okay. I'll address that if you want me. I could do it right
okay.
now.
Okay. Well, there's another piece okay. to it, right? Okay. If you're a coach and you know you have a problem like that, that's a discipline problem, you know, discipline within plays, discipline within reactions, discipline within, you know, understanding, what do you do?
Well, you address it. You actually start.
How?
If you know, you're saying the problem of the pre-snap, you have to do repetition. You have
repetition. That's yeah. the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, you have to do.
So why yeah. are you canceling practices that you're allowed to have when you know you have problems to solve that can be solved by repetition?
I'll answer.
I that. Have a big problem with him having less practices on purpose.
McDaniel, okay, can I take a shot?
Yes,
okay.
Go.
McDaniel has an attitude that he really wants to cure things by having everybody
on friend.
A positive wave, you know, on positive, everybody, you know, rewarding and happy, you know, which is a very good thing in life, right?
Yes.
You don't want to have a guy to beat you up
I
all
agree.
The time.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. When he canceled those two, and I think you're referring to the two OTAs that he canceled,
and
right?
and currently,
and currently he had the, that's another one we're going to talk about that one. And he canceled two practices that we were allowed, and he said, they're doing so well, we're just going to give the team the days off.
Bullshit.
And that's especially you're learning a new defense, and the offense is obviously having issues with the line that we've already beaten up on, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the timing of plays.
But I think he saw that he screwed up on that. And he came back, and they recently had an off day on Sunday. And he said, no, we're practicing on Sunday. And I think he's starting to – I really believe that McDaniel is starting to see that he needs to get that practice in. He's been saying, he says, we have a problem. He's been having a stopwatch. He's been having all kind, getting the he knows getting the plays in on time. Mm-hmm. Tua addressed that the other day. That was no coincidence about, you know, how long the plays are.
Yes. That is the point.
Well,
one of my points.
If they are that long, I bet you anything, every team has the same thing. Okay. Maybe one less word. Come on, man. It's all, they all have it. They all have long plays because the place tells you, you know, I could read you the whole thing that Tua said. I have it right here. And one second. Okay, so here we go. North, right, clamp, south, fox, H, top pass, 38, top gun, 8, XP, sweat. That's the play. Most of it, some of it will go to the wide receiver, some to the running back, some to the blocking. And not all everybody has to know every single one of that section there. Well, you know, he does. Tua
right,
does.
Tua does.
Okay. But so you're looking at a play, yes, it is a little winded or a lot winded. But, man, second year in the system.
The line needs to know most of it, too, because it affects how they block.
Exactly. But there's only going to be a section there for them for the hollow block. and that's it.
Okay.
I mean, that whole thing looks huge, but, you know, the receivers got their part. Everybody, I mean, and look at Hill. He says he doesn't even have to watch film. We'll talk about that quickly.
Yeah,
but,
not my
but
favorite
look,
comment.
I think Coach McDaniel is learning from his mistakes. I believe that him having that practice, him addressing this, the first thing you talked about gambling, and you know, gambling issues or drinking issues or any person has an issue, the first thing to cure, to the first step in getting cure is admitting. And I think he has admitted publicly several times that we suck at this. We need to get better at penalties. We need to get better as a team.
That's my number one worry. Want to deal with 2 and 3?
Okay.
Okay. 2 is his management of the clock.
Yes, that's what I think.
I saw some of the worst
clock
management last year. And 3 is he was the very worst coach in the NFL at successful challenges.
Yes. And that's one thing he hasn't addressed, which I'm sure.
I haven't heard of people about it. He didn't win a challenge until postseason.
Yeah.
That's nuts. I've never heard of that.
I think that that is a makeup of him maybe not putting the right people in charge. And when you're a head coach, mm-hmm. you have to worry about, you know, what's happening in the other room, what's happening everywhere. And I think
and
that
he's running the offense and calling plays.
And calling
so there's
plays,
a lot. So he better have somebody talking into his ears, telling him when to throw the flag and when not to throw the flag, who understands
the wrong
situational
guys.
Stuff as well as the eyeballs.
But as a rookie coach, you would say he did fairly well.
At what?
Right? At coaching. Fairly well. He didn't do exceptional. Obviously, we were saying, but
so
he did.
I'm not a professional. I don't make millions of dollars. And I could see the trends and tendencies of his play calling where he would go away from the run game when it was working, where he didn't, where when they're pinning their ears back and expecting us to pass, he wasn't calling running back screens and stuff, that especially when the linebackers are dropping back, that would have killed those teams and made them readjust to correct.
Like one of those sweep plays that he did with Nsukuma would have been good.
Sure. So,
yeah,
you know, I know it's all in the moment. I know that I'm not going to stand in those shoes and say I'm better than him. That's a ridiculous statement. But if I see the flaws, then I know there are things that need to be addressed. Now, he has come up and said, I have to stick with the run game in certain situations. And I know I need to get better at that. Yeah. So,
yeah, we saw games that we were going five yards a carry and then get away from it.
Yeah.
Case in point, you know, even the Buffalo game, you know, we could have easily.
Yes. Think about the strategy behind that. If you keep doing that and force them to make an adjustment to reduce the running game, what does that do?
No, you got a guy named Hill and Waddle.
That's
be a big
right.
Problem.
It leaves them wide open.
It's a big problem.
And you throw the death punch.
When you
right?
have to bring those safeties up. Oh my God.
Yes.
No, but look, I think McDaniel is going to grow from that. I think that was expected that he'd go through that. So I think as a whole, the Dolphins are.
I think he's a smart guy and he has all the potential in the world to.
We're going
to
grow.
To get better.
Yeah, I think we will. And I think that your points are, you know, well taken. And I understand them. And I think
have concerns.
I really believe that
they're all valid.
Okay, we're the team with the most pre-snap movement of any team in the NFL. Right, we do more motion than any other team. I love that. The price of that is that if the guys don't
especially
know,
especially if you have a quarterback that reads the defense as a result of mm-hmm. motion, you know, then you know you have a better idea of what's going to work and what's not going to work.
And Tua, I think Tua is brilliant at that. Okay, I think Tua is going to get even better with that. And I think that McDaniel sees that he has prepared the team and he has learned from his mistakes of last year. This year could be a rock and roll year. The only thing, like you said, that line, if we get our right pieces come in, this team could be really hard to deal with. This team could end up winning 12, 13 games.
We'll so if you had the power to make a move out of the available people in the world right now, would you put a focus on offensive line or would you go balls out to get Jonathan Taylor, who's clearly a difference maker?
Listen, man, anytime, you know, anytime I can get an upgrade on my team that massive, I'm doing it. Jonathan Taylor could be a huge difference maker,
mm-hmm.
but Jonathan Taylor is not going to come here for $8 million.
True. We've got to do a lot of stuff to make that happen.
Yeah.
Financially and
picks and all kinds of stuff.
Right. Compensation, all of it.
Yeah. I will do it for a guy like that. But, you know, Hondo was telling me the other day.
When a player says, I don't want to be in this team, I want to be traded, and the Dolphins are number one.
I would say, why not bring Kareem Hunt? You know, that'll make our running back room really interesting. The rookie, Kareem Hunt, I mean... but a Taylor guy, yes, I would love him more than Cook, because I found him to be really at the end of his, you know, the tail end of his career.
Cook had potential.
It'd be fun, but
to be fun or to be good or whatever. But Taylor is
unreal.
Yeah,
yeah. But it's gonna be a fun season, Scott. I think that can't wait to see us against Houston and. See, and that's going to be on your birthday, man.
Today is my birthday.
Oh, that's right. Today is your birthday. It's going to be your birthday celebration. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Saturday
we're just going to get some wine tasting.
Saturday we're just
going to
be partying.
Yeah, partying it up.
Not that we party as good as we used to in the old days.
No, it's nothing by comparison.
Yeah, today a good party is two drinks, you know, but whatever. Okay, Scotty, it's great to be back, man.
So next episode, we always like to do a prediction episode, so that'll happen sometime before the season starts. I don't know if we'll have two episodes before it starts or just one. I know I have some international travel coming up and various things that may get in the way, but it's good to be back in the saddle again.
Yes, it is.
It's fun.
Yes, it is.
And we certainly look forward to this season. 3, 2, 1... Go Dolphins! The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. We have a sponsor we'd like to thank, Sawbox Music Company, makers of eclectic stringed instruments, boutique tube amplifiers, and custom portable music devices. Check them out at sawboxguitars.com. That's SawboxGuitars.com. Or find them on Facebook. You could reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring, because they are the best.